It is wonderful to be here again. I don't know why I said that, but it is wonderful to be here. I want to say too before opening in prayer that I am grateful for all the wonderful women in this room, and whether you are a mother or a mentor or a friend, thank you for the care that you give. The motherly love that you show. So let's open in prayer. God, thank you for this opportunity to be together this evening. As we sang earlier together, we recognize that your presence is all around us. We specifically ask that you help us to see and experience and feel your presence around us, and we welcome it. We thank you for being here with us, and I ask as we enter into tonight's message that you surround us with your love, with your grace, surround me with your love and your grace. In all these things we ask in your name, amen. All right, so I was going to, there's like pens and some paper on the ends of your pews. If you want to jot down some notes, we thought like for this message, it might be especially helpful if you wanted to jot down some notes, or if you want to try to keep from falling asleep and act like you're paying attention, you can doodle. But whatever, you know, however that goes, you're supposed to laugh. Like that makes me feel like it's a joke and not something that might actually happen. But in any case, I was going to open up with a story, but I want to kind of being mindful of the time, I want to kind of move on. But when we think of the church and our experiences in the church, and all of us here, one of the things I love about this community is that all of us come from an incredible variety of experiences with the church. Some of us, for some of us, this is our first experience with church. Some of us have grown up in the church in one expression or another. So just think for a little bit about your experience with the church, and for how many of you, after thinking for a little bit about your experience with the church, can you say you do not remember a time where there was conflict? No one can remember a time when there was not conflict? No? When you were really little? Right, and you were kind of... Didn't know? Yeah. Yeah, your parents would tell you, like, wow, man, it was really bad. Why? Why is this? You know, it seems like where two or three are gathered, God is present there, and when where two or three are gathered, like, there's something in between us. You know, it's amazing how we as humans can separate ourselves out into, like, different groups of like-mindedness and then still find ways to divide ourselves. Is that... You know, interesting. Yeah. So this topic tonight, we're in the Embody series. We took a break last week, and we welcomed Irvin Stutzman here, and he shared with us. We're going to jump back in. This is week four of Embody, and we've been talking about what's this way that we are an expression of Christ in the world. We're talking specifically about what it means to be a multi-voice church. This evening, we're going to be talking, This evening, we're going to be talking about discernment, multi-voice discernment. And I specifically asked to talk about this, because it's something that I feel very passionate about. All the schisms and the separations and the arguments and the things that divide us, they absolutely break my heart. Right now in the Mennonite church, there's a lot of this happening. And whether or not you're aware of it, that's okay, but it's something that I, you know, I have friends all over the U.S. That would be, if we were, so to say, on different sides of the aisle, although I hate that expression because it's church. And it's amazing to me how people of God who love each other so much can have these things come between us. One thing that's interesting. So there's a lot of brokenness in the church. We talked about that already. Did you know the encyclopedia has the count at well over 33,000 denominations? And then if you like, they kind of divide it as if you divide it as every country has its own denominations. Like you have the Roman Catholics, but they count it as like 256. Then it's like 47,000 denominations. That's a ton of divisions. So this is kind of the major branches in church history. You start with early Christianity, and then you have the Council of Ephesus and Chalcedon, and I don't know if I said that right, but I'm going to act like I did. You have the Great Schism in the 11th century, the Reformation, which is where Martin Luther, 95 Theses, and then Anabaptism came off that as well about 30 years later. And all these like mapped out schisms. If this map, instead of stopping in a straight line there on the right, it would be like a spider web of crazy, okay? We are so good at dividing ourselves. And the interesting thing is, at every single point of division, each side thought that they were carrying out what the Holy Spirit invited them to do. Churches break up all the time today. People schism all the time today. And it breaks my heart. So tonight we're going to be talking about multi-voiced discernment. If I ask us to define decision, how much you define decision? Choosing. Yeah. There's a couple different things. Webster defines it as a conclusion or resolution reached after taking consideration. So, I'll make my own decision. I'm going to think about these things, and then I'm going to decide. To be clear, this is not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're not talking about making a choice, about taking things into consideration and then making a choice. We're going to talk about discernment, and discernment... after consulting the Google machine, discernment is described not by me, by the Google machine, as this. So in a Christian context, and there was like a subbar, it said, in the Christian context, okay? The perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual direction and understanding. So without providing for a time of healing and discernment, there will be no hope of living through the present moment without shattering of our common life. Google. Okay? There are going to be three parts to my talk tonight. How do we function as individuals in discernment? How do leaders function in discernment? And then how does a community function in discernment? And specifically, a community of faith. Right, because it's different. I mean, there's so much the same, but it's different. And that's why it's discernment and not decision. So, jumping in, we're talking about multi-voice discernment. Multi-voice discernment, it empowers all members in the community to participate in a prayerful listening and conversational process with one another, and it requires us to be deliberately inclusive, okay? What does deliberately inclusive mean? It kind of means that we can set up this ethos of, yeah, we always want to like listen, but it means we have to specifically think about the groups of people that we don't always hear from. So it means like reaching out to the children and the young people who have this like surprising insight. It means reaching out to the older persons who in today's culture, their wisdom is often overlooked. We reach out to the people who are inarticulate and hesitant. Not everybody is as outgoing as I am. Okay? No. Not you, John. We have to like reach out to these people, and what are ways that we can communicate and listen to their voice deliberately without making them feel embarrassed or how do we meet them where they are? Will those with learning disabilities be invited to share their ideas? What about individuals and families who've recently joined? Those fresh ideas are something that we have to pay attention to. Visual artists, these are people who sometimes struggle to bring their visual gifts and their expressions in a predominantly verbal conversation.
So what are ways that with different people with different learning styles and expressions, how do we include people in the conversation? This is what it means for us to be deliberately inclusive. Now, I will say that I think that as a community, we're pretty good at this already. But the fact that we have to be deliberately inclusive means that we can't just say, we're pretty good at this, right? Okay, we're all in agreement? All right. So there's another aspect of individual responsibility, and it's personal. And when I say it's personal, I mean I have to work on it. We're going to try something, and it only works with 100% participation. So everybody say, I'm going to participate. Perfect. Okay. So what's, Danny, what's like a divisive thing right now?
A divisive thing?
Yeah. Huh? Politics. Ooh. Oh, man. You're not supposed to talk about that in church. Okay. Politics. Exactly. So at the count of three, everybody is going to start sharing their opinion about the current political situation. Okay? Just everybody, just start. You don't have to yell or whatever, but just start talking. So, one, two, three.
Trump is gonna cut our heads off.
Oh, man. I'm listening. Okay, perfect. This is so good. Okay? I heard Trump really loud like four times, but that's because Danny's right here. But here's the thing. This like is a beautiful point because all of us are talking and nobody's listening. How many times, and I can say this, like I said, it's personal because I do this a lot, even in my marriage. You know, how many times when you're having an argument with someone, where you come to someone in a disagreement, and the whole time you're talking, you're just thinking about what you're going to say that's going to prove them wrong. You're not really listening. You're being quiet. You're not really listening. Okay? This is imperative when we talk about the idea of discernment. Because everyone has to have their idea heard and listened to and considered, not just given space to talk. Okay? It's important. So one of the things that I had to work on, it's called adaptive action, and it's a long story, but part of adaptive action in taking situations is there's a process of inquiry. And I thought that this might be like a helpful takeaway for everybody as kind of how we become listeners. So in the process of inquiry, our judgment, we turn that into curiosity. Okay, so the things that we're immediately judgmental on, we turn that into curiosity. We start asking questions, learning more about the situation. We turn our conflict into shared explorations. Chris and I, we don't agree on the same thing. So instead of me just being mad at Chris, I'm going to learn more. We're going to walk down that road and explore together. We turn defensiveness into self-reflection. This is a big one for me. Like, I get super defensive and, really just indignant because I'm correct. And and we really need to turn that into self-reflection. Why am I so right all the time? And then we turn our assumptions into questions. Don't look at Danae. You're all apologizing to her. I see that. Okay. So, and then we also need to turn our assumptions into questions. This is something that we're all really guilty of. A lot of us are. And that is assuming that we know what the other person is thinking. We have to ask questions. In all those schisms, in every single one of those schisms, both people thought that they were correct and for good reason, okay? So it's important to turn our assumptions into questions. So that's kind of the individual responsibility, and there's a lot to unpack in there. I want to just briefly talk about leadership. Leadership in multi-voice discernment is tricky because we have a lot of leaders in this church. There's volunteer leaders, there's the leadership team, Josias is on staff. So those are the people, like when we talk about church leadership, we have ideas of what we think about as leadership. But what's important to remember is that leadership during discernment has to look a little bit different. Maybe it's one of these people, but the crazy thing is that when we're discerning together as a community, those people have to be a part of that discernment too. And leadership in discernment, leadership in discernment is a facilitation role. And so I'll kind of skip over this, but that's the main thing, is that we want to make sure that leadership looks like a facilitator, to help us make sure we're hearing everybody, to make sure the process is going well. So that also means we want to be considerate of those people who are normally in leadership and make sure that they can be a part of that. Okay, earlier I talked about, like 3 minutes ago, I talked about the necessity for each of us to be deliberately inclusive in this process of discernment. While that's an individual responsibility, I think that goes well to mention in this idea of what is our responsibility as a community of faith, right? So specifically as a community of faith. It's our responsibility as a community to create this ethos where all voices are represented, from the overwhelming majority to the silent and maybe sometimes prophetic minority. Each voice in this process has to be thoughtfully and prayerfully listened to. And that's not just the responsibility of the individual, it's the responsibility of us as a community. There's also a danger in deifying or demonizing ideas and opinions. And so we should just mention that. I don't know what the answer is when it happens that two groups of people, so say like we divide the room in half, and like you all thought like one political person, and you all thought the other political person, and you did it for your faith reasons, and you did it for your faith reasons, and everybody's like butting heads. I don't know what to do in that situation. And obviously we have 33,000 examples of people not knowing what to do in the situation except to part ways. But all I do know is that we have to find a way to listen and to trust in one another. We have to. And that's the responsibility of us together as a community. That's the covenant that we make. Andrew Rawlinson wrote a book, The Attentive Community, Recovering God's Gift of Communal Discernment. I haven't read it, but I read an excerpt from it. I think it's really good, and so maybe I will read the book. But again, this is an excerpt from Andrew Rawlinson. There's something profoundly and attractively countercultural about a group of God's people that is humble enough, united enough, and still enough to sense the promptings of God's Spirit in a world of fads, fashions, and formulas. True listening, like the attentiveness of lovers, requires sensitivity, awareness, patience, and commitment. It's not possible to be open to the Spirit without traveling the cruciform route of vulnerability, humility, submission, and a teachable spirit. It's not possible without vulnerability, humility, submission, and the teachable spirit. And he concludes by saying, a community of God's people genuinely open to being persuaded. That's tough. A community of God's people genuinely open to being persuaded is a powerful instrument for God to use. So Danae always asks me, what's the main takeaway? And so to be absolutely clear, the main takeaway is this. We want to discern together as far as we are able by the grace of God, the mind of Christ, in related to our situation. So is the responsibility of the individual, of leadership, and of community. We are all working towards discerning together the mind of Christ. Not what's right, not what's wrong, not what'll have people breaking down our doors. We're here to decide the mind of Christ. It doesn't have to be complex. However, it's also usually not the most efficient or quick way to go about making decisions. That's why in this community we have delegated the leadership team to take care of a lot of the day-to-day stuff. By the way, thanks to all of you who devote your time to do that, because there's a lot of decisions that have to be made in a community. And like Terry said, we come together and we make the big ones, and we hope that we're always praying for the discernment that's happening, continually praying for, not just a minute here together, but that's something that we can be thinking about all week long. We do not have to be a community that agrees with one another all the time. We do not have to be a community that agrees with one another all the time. It's one of the things I like about this place. Not that we don't all agree on stuff, but that we are comfortable being here and we're committed to being here. But we have to be a community that seeks to be salt and light to the world. And in order to do this, I've put together like four things. I, mono-voiced, have put together four things that I think are kind of important. And we talked about them as a teaching team too. And so these are some suggestions that I kind of have, some commitments that we can make as community that'll help us to do this discernment thing better. So as we already started to with this building decision, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that we know what to do, that we can sense God's Spirit, that we can discern the mind of Christ. But most importantly, we're just going to pray and lift that up to God. We're going to listen. We're going to listen for the ways that the Spirit is working. We're going to listen for the ways that one another is talking and the ideas that other people have. And we're going to listen, right? We're not just going to wait to say our piece. We're going to allow ourselves to be influenced by others. This is the thing that's really hard for me because I'm right all the time. But it's a problem. We're going to allow ourselves to be influenced by others. And it takes an incredible amount of humility and submission to do this. But I know that we can. And we're going to remember that our primary focus is to discern the mind of Christ. That's the goal. That is the end goal. Our primary focus is to discern the mind of Christ. It's not to choose between A and B. It's to discern what God would have us do. We're going to enter into a time of prayer. We'll just take a few minutes here. I'm going to open it up and leave time for us as a community to raise individual prayers, spoken or in silence, and then I'm going to close. It's only going to be one or two minutes, but I just want to spend time to go to God in prayer. So join me. God, we come to you this evening with open hearts. We long to continue the work of building your kingdom here on earth. As we commit to walking this kingdom way, we ask you now, hear our prayer.